Canada's banking regulator has temporarily seized the assets of Silicon Valley Bank's Lone Canadian branch. The financial institution collapsed over the weekend. U.S. banking regulators jumped in on Friday and closed it down. Billions of dollars were withdrawn by fearful depositors, led to a run on the bank, basically is what we had. This bank caters heavily to tech firms, startups primarily. Now there are fears that other banks could end up facing similar difficulties. I think that's the thing everybody's watching and waiting to see. But U.S. President Joe Biden this morning was up bright and early saying, no, don't worry. Everything's going to be fine here.
All customers who had deposits in these banks can rest assured. I want to rest assured they'll be protected and they'll have access to their money as of today. That includes small businesses across the country that bank there and need to make payroll, pay their bills, and stay open for business. No losses will be, and this is an important point, no losses will be borne by the taxpayers. Let me repeat that. No losses will be borne by the taxpayers.
So there's U.S. President Joe Biden talking about the latest developments here. And there was one other small bank, and as I said, you know, Canada, the EU, UK, all stepping in to sort of take over control of Silicon Valley Bank operations in their country. So what's going on? Let's get some details. We're going to chat with Moshe Lander, an economist and senior economics lecturer at Concordia University. Moshe, thanks so much for joining us. Always nice to chat. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Good morning.
So, okay, what happened here? What happened on Friday where all of a sudden this bank basically failed and the government had to step in?
So the way that the banking industry works in general is banks take deposits and they turn around and hold a small portion of it in what's called reserves, and they lend out the rest. Lending tends to be long-term in nature. Deposits tend to be short-term in nature. And so if somebody comes along and wants to withdraw their cash, banks usually have to dip into those reserves, which is sitting idly in the vault, to help them out. But too many depositors show up. It's not like you can call in those loans and say, hey, pay it back. We need that cash. They're long-term in nature. And so what happened was that the amount of withdrawals that took place was more than this bank could handle. And of course, once that happens, people don't behave sensibly and say, right, I'm sure this will work its way out. They run to their bank. And what happens now, and what the president is trying to calm people is, if this could happen at SVB, could it happen at some other bank? And so they're trying to say, this is isolated. It's not something that's going to happen across the board. And so everybody calm down.
So in terms of what happened with this bank, is it, I've heard some people say it was really poor management. They made some really horrible investments with interest rates doing what they were doing. Do we know how they got themselves in a position where they basically couldn't cover their own expenses?
Yeah, it's when those lending opportunities come along, the businesses that borrowed at the time were expecting low interest rates, or maybe that interest rates would increase, but not as fast as they did. And so when they were unable to make their loan payments, this, of course, puts problems on the bank then that they're not getting that revenue stream that they would have been expecting. And so that's when their panic set in as well, realizing that, hey, they could find themselves in a position of insolvency. And like I said, once that word gets out, people don't behave sensibly about this mechanic.
And then, like you say, there's the fear of contagion, right? This is going to happen. And there was one more bank that happened, New York something, or another smaller bank. Are we pretty confident here that sort of the guardrails are up, motion? We don't have to worry about this spinning out of control like we saw in 2008?
Yeah, so at least in Canada, we should be very comfortable it's not going to happen, right? 90% of deposits in this country are within the six big banks.
Yeah.
So it's a lot easier to supervise six big banks in this country, even though interest rates have risen rapidly, and even though we expect there are going to be companies that are going to have a hard time making their loan payments. That data is much easier to watch. In the U.S., they have thousands of banks in a way that we don't have. And so part of the problem, too, is that U.S. banks, because there's so much competition, are almost incentivized to take riskier lending opportunities than they otherwise would as a means of trying to stay one step ahead of their competitors. If I don't lend to them, somebody else might come along, and that could be the next Uber or the next Facebook. You don't want to miss out on that opportunity. In
right.
Canada, you don't have to worry about your competitors as much because there's just not as many of them. And so that maybe insulates our system a little bit better.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes really good sense. Now, the response from the government and from the Federal Reserve and from what we've seen in Canada and now the UK and now the EU, they're stepping in, and Federal Reserve, and I guess the message they're trying to get out and the government in the United States is trying to get out is, hey, listen, don't worry. Your money's there. We'll get you your money. How does that work? You know, Biden's saying taxpayers won't be on the hook. So what are they going to do here?
So if you've heard on probably any of your downloadable podcasts or even on commercial radio, You'll often hear these PSAs these days in Canada talking about CDIC, Canadian Deposit Insurance Corporation. So it's almost divine providence that they seem to be putting this out right now. Banks have to basically take out deposit insurance, the same way that you would take out insurance against fire on your home or a car accident or your health. Banks have to take out insurance that they might not be able to pay their depositors back their money. And so when they pay into the system, much like any sort of insurance, when you need it, the policy kicks in and you're covered. And so the U.S. and Canada both have systems in place that ensure that deposits up to a certain amount, around $100,000 in Canada, is covered, so that if somehow a Canadian bank were to go down, depositors would get their up to $100,000 that are in their bank accounts, if not from the bank itself, then from this deposit insurance fund that is designed to try and make sure that this doesn't lead to contagion.
Gotcha. Okay, so what happens with this bank? Like, various different companies were at least had some holdings with this bank. Now that it's no longer a going concern, you know, the government's, what happens with all of these companies? I mean, does it, they get dispersed? Does another bank buy it? What's the situation?
So I think HSBC has already stepped in and taken over this bank as of this morning. But in general, it's like any sort of bankruptcy, right? Whenever you see a company go bankrupt, it just means that they can't pay their bills. But they usually have assets that still have some value. And so what happens then in bankruptcy proceedings is that you liquidate all of those assets, you pay off your liabilities, and usually there's not enough money left over. And that's the nature of bankruptcy. In this case, from the bank standpoint, their biggest liability are their depositors, and their biggest assets are their loans. So the loans that are still usable, serviceable, and valuable, banks are going to circle it like vultures and say, hey, we'll buy those loans, and they'll now become our assets. So instead of paying back your loans to SVB, you might be paying it back to HSBC or to Bank of America or whatever decides to jump in and they want those assets. And the liabilities, the deposits, will either be paid out from the liquidated cash or they'll be paid out from this deposit insurance. And that'll be the end of this bank. It'll just disappear into history like Lehman Brothers.
Wow, amazing. And here in Canada, as they, you know, the government's quick to say, listen, we don't, there's not a lot of people with money, with deposits in this bank. It's more about loans and that sort of thing. So it's an entirely different situation for us in Canada. And they're not worried about anybody being hurt individually, right?
They are correct. So SVB had one branch in Toronto and it had no deposits of a commercial nature, of a personal nature. It was not in the business.
Okay.
Taking deposits here. It was just in the business of making loans to tech startups. And so those tech startup loans, if they're still serviceable, are going to be bought out by a bank here in Canada or by HSBC, like I indicated, and the rest of it will just be left to die.
Last one, in terms of what's happening today, like you say, there's HSBC. We heard Joe Biden talking this. There was a lot of talk about, okay, when the markets open on Monday, we got to be careful. We got to watch what happens. I'm not hearing any tales of doom and gloom or, you know, Wall Street crashing or anything like that. Are cooler heads seeming to prevail here, Moshe?
Yeah, the markets opened up down this morning, which probably was indicative that just any time a bank collapses, that's not good news. But I think the fact that everybody jumped in quickly in a way that they didn't 15 years ago is maybe a sign that they learned their lesson from 15 years ago. And that idea of giving some sort of forward direction that this is isolated, and if it were to happen somewhere else, we're ready and we're not going to bail it out, I think has reassured markets as much as a bank failing can. And that's why we haven't seen the markets routed this morning.
All right. Excellent insight, as always. Thank you so much, Moshe.
Thanks, Shane.
That's Moshe Lander, an economist and the senior economics lecturer at Concordia University.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.